Welcome, welcome, welcome to the We Blended and Blessed podcast. I'm your host, Wayne G, and I'm joined by my lovely bride, the most beautiful,
Erica G.
Our podcast offers real life scenarios and situations that help you and your family overcome life challenges, grow, have fun, and be blessed. We'd like to thank you for tuning in this week as we have a special guest and a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Today we have D Coach Anthony and Tasha Jones. Welcome, 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 guys.
You did it. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead, babe, kick us off.
Before we dive in, be sure to subscribe, like, and follow us at the following: YouTube, We Blended and Blessed Podcast; Instagram, We Blended and Blessed Podcast; TikTok, We Blended and Blessed Podcast; and Twitter, We Blended and Blessed Podcast. If you guys need support to overcome any life challenges in the blended life, you can send us an email at weblendedandblessedpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. All right. Let's check it out. Let's jump into it like this. In this world, especially in America, there's a common activity that is known for bringing family, friends, and strangers together, such as sports, especially our favorite ones, such as football, basketball, baseball, soccer, cheer, dance, etc. It doesn't matter, right? Folks can be high-fiving in the stands. You don't even know who this is, but you just met this person 5 minutes ago. But guess what? You had a sporting event, and this is what sports do. However, in blended families, we often face issues when it comes to participation with all parties, including the kids, payments, coaching, fundraising, etc. In this episode, we will discuss some of those challenging ways to overcome them with our special guests. But before we get to that part, this is something I like to have a little fun with our guests, especially when we're doing or the married couple, right? I like to know a little bit about them, right? So how long have you guys dated and been married for?
Yes, I guess so. Well, we've been married for 2 years. We dated for what? 4 years before that?
Yeah, somewhere about three to four years.
About 3 to 4 years. All right. Now, this is the part I like to see. Who was into who first? Who was in, I don't know if they had DMs at that time, but maybe in the messages. Who was in the whose messages and DMs at that time?
Mm-hmm. He was, of course. It was him.
And he's quiet.
I went to get a car.
You went to get a car?
A car.
Yeah, I was in the car business at the time. I sold the car and sent out a couple of messages.
You wanted to check on that car, huh?
You were checking on the car.
Yeah, make sure all was checked out, getting the service right, you know.
Right.
That is let me tell you, that's top tier customer service.
At its best.
At its best.
At its best.
I mean, beyond what you could imagine.
You know, you're supposed to follow up, so I followed up.
Indeed.
Hey, Miss Tasha, how that car treating you, baby?
Listen, I've had, three more since then.
Oh, come on. You had to upgrade it and change it out, huh?
And we ain't bring home nobody else. Nobody else better not check on that call. Don't send no text.
That's right.
Call me, player.
He's screening it all. He knows the ins and outs.
Call me, player.
So, Miss Tasha, this is always so. When did you know Anthony was the one?
I would say when I met his kids. Seeing him in the zone of being a father, a family man, how he treats his mom. He sees his mom every day. Just being that person.
Okay.
Oh, not all laughing.
Right. All right.
I'm laughing because she always... Oh, you go see your mom every day. I technically don't see my mom every day.
She
feels like I go see my mom every day.
But that's a good thing.
And no, you have something to say, but I really don't go see every day.
You do, since I've met you.
Very, very close that he missed going to see
I mean,
see
you might
mom.
Miss a day, but you know, you're going to make up for it.
That's all I'm saying.
He goes on lunch breaks. He goes after work. He's gonna fit it in there somewhere.
Well, you know, since I'm coaching at Glen Oaks now, so the house is approximately 8 minutes, so I might go on my lunch break, get some good soul food, talk to her, come but back to work.
That's a good thing. That's what drew me to him, though. You know, okay. those were the qualities, seeing that.
Okay. Right, and then a family man.
Yeah, seeing the family man. And I have a great relationship with his mom, with my mother-in-law.
Hey, that's a plus, because not everyone has that kind of dynamic, right? And that, you know, mm-hmm. truly makes the overall relationships go around tremendously. I love my in-laws. My in-laws are good to me. I appreciate them. I'm so blessed. I got two sides of them. So I love each and every one of them. So just in case y'all listen to this, I love y'all with my heart. And I appreciate everything you do for me and my family, man. That's all, I'm just going to throw that out there. If you ever was wondering, I love you guys.
And I love my in-laws as well. They like truly welcomed me with open arms. Mm-hmm. A bit overwhelming. They was just like, man, I am so glad he found you. And I was like, bro. Bro.
Right.
But it's been good.
Now we have, you know, you guys have a blended family. You have, you know, a series of kids. So let's talk about your family dynamics, right? We have what we call a Brady Bunch. You know, we got, you know, a bit of everything. Five, you know, with the oldest ranging from 19 to the youngest ranging to two toddlers, a teenager, somebody.
Let's pray right now.
Right.
Somebody that want to be grown. That's 12 going on 14 that don't know, you know, nothing from nothing. And then a 19-year-old that who's ready for the world, but then still wants to cuddle like a little baby, you know. So, hey, we got a little bit of taste of it all. I feel like I got almost a degree in parenting at this part, because I got some school of hard knocks along the way here. So tell us about your kids and. You know, how the ages range and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we have a crew as well. Mm-hmm. We call them the crew. So they range from 17 is our oldest, and the youngest is 12. So we have 11. So we have a 17-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl, and then we have twins, a girl and a boy, which are 11. So we have four. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the twins are the last.
Tight race. Tight race.
Last.
You want another one? Oh
no, okay. No.
Good.
No babies keeping you up at night. No, nobody. You know, you gotta change a diaper in the middle of the night.
No,
listen.
Nobody. You gotta nudge.
When we began to get serious, it was like, you don't want any more kids. I don't want any more. Just to make sure we're on the same page with that, so we can know. Move forward.
that's the stage that I don't like. I'd rather get them when they get about three or four.
I feel you.
If I can skip the four, I take.
You know, I tell my wife and everybody that knows me, I don't like teenagers. But what I really found out, because I got kids at all stages of my life, I don't like. Then when they get to be, I like them when they're about 0 months till about 13 months. And then I don't like them no more until they're about three. And then from about three to about nine, 10, we all right. And then 11, 12, we start to not like each other. And then about 17, 18, we come back around and we're like, okay, we can operate, because my teachings are starting to sink in right now. And we're finding our new direction. That's where I'm kind of at right now.
I have nothing to say.
I'm just
being honest.
Yeah, the terrible twos is really, I think, because we had it back to back. It hit different. I could see if they are twins, you know, and you have the terrible twos at the same time. But then when you have a terrible twos and you got one coming out and you got one knee deep. Like,
yeah.
You know what? Never mind. My boy is head first into terrible twos right now. So.
Yeah, he is giving a run for the money. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this.
For sure.
My sister had a baby at the beginning of this year. I took my boys to visit her. and see the dynamics. At the end of it, my brother-in-law was trying to get him to have another kid right now. He said, nah, I think I'm good for right now, man.
Yeah.
They was out on having the babies back-to-back like that because they are...
they're like their dad is what I learned a couple weeks ago, guys. And now we're going to get back on topic. But since we talking about it, someone told me that Wayne was bad.
Nah.
Just bad. That's what she flat out said. Bad. And so now I feel like when these kids are in rare form, go see your daddy.
Go see your daddy.
Okay.
Because I didn't do this. I didn't do this.
She was an angel baby. But anywho. So our kids, they play sports. Our 19-year-old college athlete right now playing softball. Our 11-year-old boy, he's into travel AAU basketball. And then our 9-year-old daughter, she plays travel softball, and she just recently got on the dance team at our school. What about your kids? Which ones are in sports?
So our oldest, Anala, she plays volleyball and travel volleyball. Okay. Then Savannah, she played volleyball at the school and travel volleyball.
Okay.
Then the twins, Kylie, the girl, she plays volleyball. Then my son, Anthony Jones Jr., he plays football.
Dang, okay. All of them.
All of them, yeah. Play sports.
Right. Every last one.
Okay.
Every last one.
Yes, and for volleyball, okay? That's something I wish I would have stuck with, okay? I love that.
Yeah,
that was my favorite PE sport. That's about as far as I could.
For why?
You know.
For why?
I just used to conserve real good, and I used to, I know my spot. I know how to set it up, you know?
Underhand or overhand, I just need to know.
Underhand, I couldn't do it.
All right,
man.
So Wayne, you didn't play sport?
I play high school football.
Okay, got it.
I play high school football. I'm a football guy. Did some intramural softball, intramural basketball, but I'm a football guy. I love football, and I've helped coach my daughter's teams before, both of them, and then I've also coached my nephew's football teams before when he was in the Pee Wee ages. And then now I'm just about to sign up to coach with my son's AAU basketball team.
Tasha, we gonna have something else in common.
Yeah,
girl, I'm gonna call you.
Call me.
Yeah, so Wayne, yeah, I'm kind of doing the same thing. Of course, you know I'm the head coach at Glen Oaks, but I coach my son.
Big ups. Let's just talk about that. Glen Oaks, yeah. Glen Oaks High School.
Yeah,
middle school.
High school.
Glen Oaks High School. I'm not from Baton Rouge. I'm from New Orleans. I went to John F. Kennedy High School right there in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? Such a hater, but anyway. So Glen Oaks High School, Baton Rouge, you are the coach and looking, and we want to wish you well and a blessed season. And hopefully you guys turn that program around to your liking.
So, you ever heard of Kennedy? I'm just asking since we was talking about it.
Yeah, I have.
For football or the band? I was just wondering. You don't.
It's time to hurry though.
I ain't really. Oh.
Hey, okay. I heard of John F. Kennedy.
Period. You heard of him. That's it. I mean, for what though?
I mean, Katrina took the school away and we got it back.
And
then now we starting to get back on the map again. Okay. But
y'all not coming back like that because I went to the Edna Carr High School, so I'm just saying.
Okay.
You heard of them though, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
After Katrina, you definitely heard of Coach
Jones. What did you say?
They actually have some type of Netflix series I've been meaning to watch on Netflix.
That's right.
I haven't got a chance to watch it yet.
Did Kennedy have one?
All that happened after the redistricting after Hurricane Katrina. After Hurricane Katrina.
Did Kennedy have one?
All I'm just saying. That's when it happened. Okay. So now, which out of the kids, which one is the best one? Which one is that take the sports seriously that they play? From the volleyball to the football. I just want to know.
Pretty much, I would say all of them. Well, no. To AJ, our son, with football. he's very passionate about it now. You know, so I feel he worked the hardest as far as studying the game in his free time. He's watching YouTube, looking at routes. And so I would say he takes it more serious than the girls.
That's good. I mean, we have one, too, that just will outcompete anybody, wants to excel.
Yeah, the 9-year-old girl, she always want to put on a seatbelt faster than you. Like, that's just how much of a competitor that she is. And, like, once she get going, it's like she would be a gym rat and a teacher's pet at the same time. She would just be in there working on getting better. You know, like, Coach, how long have you been coaching?
So I have been coaching for 12 years. So when I graduated from Southern University in education, I coached 2 years at Glen Oaks as an assistant. Then I got in the car business. I done 10 years in the car business. I got out of the car business, and I done another 10 years. I've been 10 years in education, back in education. So
okay,
that's kind of what happened.
Okay. And how, you know, when it comes to, have you had the ability to coach or the opportunity to coach your own kids and all your bonus kids have been around that scenario?
Oh, yeah.
He can't
stay to answer that.
Let me answer that one.
I hit the ground running. When we first hooked up, I'm working all of them out. When we was at the condo, at the apartment, just had an apartment. We was working out in the little workout room. Yes, I have coached all of them in volleyball. Mm-hmm. I worked them out individually in volleyball. Coached my son in every aspect. And what's crazy is, so from ranking from my oldest daughter, we started her off at a Strumer Baptist, the church, and we put Savannah in there. Then my youngest daughter, we just kind of kicked off with her last year. But to me, my youngest daughter is the more athletic one, got the ability, but she don't work as hard as the oldest girls. But I think she's going to be the most talented one out of volleyball. But she haven't put in the hard work yet, but she's starting to like it, though, because she asked me about it more.
That's the twin, though, right? That's the twin?
Yeah, that's the twin. Yeah.
Okay.
But to fully answer this question... Yes, he won't let the coaches coach. He has to be an assistant. he won't stay off the court or the field. Each program, each time he's like, okay, I'm not going to coach. I'm just going to let him. I'm just going to let them. Sir. So,
I have learned. I've come a long way.
No, that's not why you don't coach. Hey, we have.
So my son played in the All-Star game. That was my first time. I sat back. I didn't coach. I just watched. And I told the guys from Atlanta. I said, "Look, give me a evaluation of my son. I'm gonna sit back. I'm not gonna coach. I'm not gonna do nothing. Just tell me exactly that, because he's a coach's son. Tell me exactly how he is. I want to know." I sat back. I let the coaches do their thing. So,
that was at the All-Star point. You had then coached them up. That was the test. It was the test.
The heavy lifting. Hey. It was partly done.
Yeah, but I honestly, I really plan after this year of coaching. I plan to sit back. This is supposed to be my last year of coaching. I'm gonna turn them over to the coaches.
We're gonna see. We gone.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, we went to Dallas for BJ's basketball tournament. Wayne came back with the nickname Commissioner. I wonder why he got that. You care to explain?
I was orchestrating on the side on some of the things. That's all.
And he walked across. And, listen, y'all, from the side, he walked across the court. He didn't go around the court. You know, most times people go around the court.
Yeah.
My husband, I love him so much.
It was break time.
It don't matter, baby. People just don't walk on the court like that.
I had to bring a Gatorade in my defense.
Uh-huh. We still walk around. He hightailed straight across and had a few choice words, and now he's going to be coaching. They called him the commissioner. The commission.
Yeah, our boy wants to be on this team. Mm-hmm. So I think the team got a lot of potential. They just don't know how to work yet. You know, not that the guys have done a bad job or anything like that. They can benefit from somebody that knows how to work. It's one thing that
knows how to discipline.
Right.
I'm talking about work. I just need you to work. If you can work, we can figure everything out. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's a workhorse.
But yeah. I'm a workhorse, and I got to teach other people
how to work. Hard work.
Hard work gonna pay off, man.
That's it.
And you know what I mean, Coach? Hard work. You know, we got to get that in. So, you know, since you know your family, you know, you guys have blended. You got kids from a previous, relationships, and since has it impacted your coaching of your children at all? Any of the family dynamics in any way like that?
I think. This is just naturally who I am. I was gonna coach him up regardless. It's just me being a parent and a coach at the same time.
Just in the blood.
To me.
Yeah. I feel it has. There are situations that has impacted the coaching or the training, because if they're with us, then of course he's gonna get what he needs, but once he goes back to the other parent, then it's their terms. If you wanna go, if you don't wanna go, bring him, you know, so that can be an issue.
Right.
Indeed.
And that's one of those things that, you know, I often see in blended families, that one parent gonna feel some way about the sport. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the other parent feel another way about the sport. Mm-hmm. But then it don't have the consideration of how the child feels about the sport.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes, you know, we know our kids. And then if you put competing things in front of them, in front of a certain sport, whereby, oh, you want to go to the playground, or you want to go to the gym, mm-hmm. to do the bouncy house gym, or do you want to go and sweat at the ballpark?
Right.
I think sometimes the kids... Right. You know, they're going to choose, of course, leaf path of resistance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can see that. I can see how that can affect the coaching piece, because then you do all of this work and then you come back. Because, you know, most kids, when they come back from the other parent, they need to be reacclimated to this dynamic. And on both sides, you know, you have to be reacclimated. So if I've been working you out every day, and you come back and be like, oh, no, I don't feel like going. Excuse
right.
me. That is not an option.
Right. And another thing that also hinders the kid is you may have a parent that's fully in support of what they're doing athletic-wise, whatever it may be. And the other one, they're like, okay, not so much, and don't show up to those games. So you have that rejection there. And that plays a part as well on their performance.
It does. So I agree.
We've seen that as well.
So we're going to get to that one. I want to get to that one. Before we get to that one, I want to know this. You know, Miss Tasha, knowing this man, how passionate he is about his sports, has coach ever been too hard on the athlete, the children athletes, in the household, and how do you intervene with that? Because I know my wife, when I'm too hard, you know, she got a, you know, she let me do my thing, and then she pulled me to the side, and then she'd be like, you know, you didn't have to do all that, you know, like, so how do you intervene?
That is me. Like, I watch it, and I'm standing there trying not to show any emotion or any type of reaction, but inside I'm like, you're doing a little bit too much. You're doing too much. So I have to, you know, take them away and say, come see for a second. And
do you give them like a head nod? Do you give them a head nod, like, you know, hey.
That you know that.
Hey. I haven't did that in a long time. I pretty much work the kids out, and for example, like AJ, I make sure we have a day he play with his friends in the neighborhood. Kylie too. I took the girls to get their nails, and if I work them out too, I try to let them make sure they're a kid and still have fun. I don't press them, but I ain't gonna lie. Now with my son, I'm a little bit more on his butt. The girls, I'm a little bit more lenient.
But yeah, on my son, you know, that double standard is something. It is something.
I got that pressure on AJ, but the girls, I'm a little bit.
So you look passive. You're passive with the girls.
No, not at all. I don't know where that's coming from.
I think I am a little bit, Wayne.
Not at all. I do. There's no difference. I haven't seen any difference. And for me, especially with the girls, when I have to always remind him, they're not your football players. You can't talk to them the way you talk to your football players. You just can't. And for example, he would get them up out of the bed 11 o'clock at night and say, I need you to do 25 push-ups, no matter if it's the girls or our son.
Hey, pause. Hey, the reason why, Wayne, and Erica, so I tell them every night, hey, do 20 push-ups before you go to bed. So they haven't did it.
There's no difference.
Yeah, so I wake them up. Hey, you need to do your push-ups. Give me your push-ups. Just get it in. Then you get back in the bed.
We need to be like Coach Jones.
My problem is I like to do that, Coach. Mm. I just get a lot of them and I forget.
I
get a lot of them and we just be forgetting after we put the boys to sleep.
He goes to sleep.
Then I take
don't put the boys to sleep.
They put me to sleep.
Thank you.
Take me a power nap. And then I recover again and finish the night off, right?
He doesn't recover.
I don't recover.
For 5 minutes, I'm going to close my eyes for 5 minutes. Wake
y'all, he be snoring. And he be upset. Right.
Miss Taj, it might be more like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know.
If it's real good to him, there's been times that he has, like, I will take the kids and, because we just camp style, right? We just all make a pallet on the floor so the kids can go to sleep with mom and dad. There's been times that I've taken the kids, put them both in bed, and he readjusts himself on the floor.
Wow.
And gets comfortable. Multiple times, guys.
You're not supposed to tell everybody that.
Oh, wow. I'm going to tell it. Because he put the kids to sleep.
Yeah.
No.
So I gotta remember what that, you know, right now our sons, they all on break, so I've been a little bit lenient. But school's starting up next week here in our town. So we about to get back to business.
Yeah, and we're getting rid of social media because I'm over it.
And I'm about to start waking people up. Hey, did you get it in?
Like Coach Jones.
Like Coach
11
Jones.
O'clock. Do your push-ups.
I'm taking a page out of Coach Jones' book.
That's
did
right.
you do your push-ups?
It takes a village.
I'm waking them up. If they don't move, I'm getting water for them. I'm going to get them out. That's what I'm talking
about.
Now, he
does stuff like that.
Yeah.
For sure. I can't even lie. He does throw water on the kids. All of them. Just not the little ones.
Hey, hard work. We talked about hard work. You got to get the hard work in. Your opponents or your competitors sleeping, we be getting that work in.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Getting that work in. I like that. See, I like being around coaches, babe. I'm telling you, man. I've learned something from every time I'm around these guys.
That's
man.
Why it's good to have community. I agree.
Get your adrenaline right. pumping.
Yeah, man. He's probably ready to go.
I'm ready to go get one of them right now. None of these jokers are here.
They're gone.
I want to go get
BJ
one
went to
right.
the movies again, and he probably ready to go pick him up right now. Son, let's go.
He ain't get no work in.
And he didn't. And I know, like, for me, I have this other side to me, too. And I'm going to just be honest because I'm on my husband when it comes to sports. Like, if BJ is really not doing what he's supposed to do, I can turn into, like, coach mom. And it's not good. And I don't take no prisoners. Like, one time, this dude missed, like, 10 open layups.
It wasn't 10, but it was enough.
Well, it felt like 10, okay? But I came home.
In his defense.
We came home. I said, let's go. outside. I want 100 on each side. And I'm gonna, and he said, you got to watch me. I'm going to watch you. You going to make them on the right and the left. Because why would you miss an open layup? Why would you do that in a rec league? Help me understand. Like, I was heated. Okay. The next game, he came back and he was on fire. It was like, dang, what y'all do? Yeah. Don't miss them open layups, my boy. don't do it. So, yeah, I do have my moments. And it's only with the boys for the most part. Like, well, just with BJ, really. I don't really say nothing to the girls. Because softball is not one of those things where you can, like, really, like, once it's done, it's done. I mean, you can get the reps in, but once it's done, it's like, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's really done. So,
Coach, you know, you've been, you know, coaches are known to be really hard on their mm-hmm. kids and also hard on the athletes that come into their families. You know, being mm-hmm. in a blended family, you know, having to deal with the dynamics of other families. How do you, you know, insert yourself or teach the, you know, the parents, and how do you kind of handle those dynamics when it comes to your players?
When it comes to my players, I'm more of a very sociable person, a people person. I like to develop relationships with my kids and the parents. Like, one of my mottos, my office is always open. So anytime you have a problem, concern, or you need to talk to me about anything, parent and player, my door is always open to come talk to me. So I had a problem with a parent today that it was kind of hard for her to pay the football fees. She said she was a parent, a single parent mom. I said, look, I told her, made her feel comfortable. She smiled and laughed. I said, look, I have 4 kids. Hey, it's football season. School is about to start up. Don't stress yourself. Don't worry about the football fees. Hey, get it to me when you can. We'll work on it. Even if it's some type of payment plan, don't worry about that. Take care of your son for his uniforms and academic stuff. We'll talk about all that later. So my thing, something I learned from Mr. Cole in the PD is building relationships. So if I build a relationship with the players and the parents, man, everything else gonna pretty run smoothly. So I would say building relationships. That's kind of how, and inserting myself with them is through building that relationship. Once I've gained their trust, man, they'll run through the wall for me. And most of my players that I left from Madison, man, what made me feel good, they text me on Father's Day, told me Happy Father's Day, and all my players, they not from Glen Oaks, but they came to Glen Oaks to visit me. That to show me some love and work out and stuff. So that kind of made me feel good that I'm inserting myself the right way to these kids and to the parents.
Yeah, when you go and see your coach, when he's not your coach no more, that's right. When you know you done made an impact. You know, you know, from my old high school, rest in peace, Coach Freeman from John F. Kennedy High School, you know, he made some, you know, instrumental impacts on our lives. From the tough want decisions, you know, like being real tough on you, paddling you, and everything. They don't do that kind of stuff today, no. You know.
You need to.
You know, these parents these days.
Yeah.
For another day.
Yeah.
But I like Coach Free, though. You know, I'm going to tell y'all later, but he had this analogy, if you will. And it's a really good one. I'm gonna tell you about it, Coach.
We gotta tell you offline. We'll
tell you offline. But it might change how you coach. It might really help your life. I'm telling you, it's a good one. I even use it. I like it.
Coach Free was one of a man that, you know, some coaches always have one of those sayings. He had a saying for everything, and some of those sayings that they stick with you for life. And one of them that you always say, you know, there's thoroughbreds and mules. And that's the PG part. I had to tell you the other part of it later.
That's it.
Because
I kind of get it where you're going with it, though.
You got thoroughbreds. Thoroughbreds, they can get the water. They drink it. Then they got the mules. You got to kick them in the butt.
So, guys, we had, because he might just let it slip out him. Now, you was about to say that you sent a picture. That's where you was going.
That's where I was going.
That's where you was going.
Okay. So, I sent you guys a picture. right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, for our audience sake, you know, this picture is of, you know, it's a blended family supporting the child. On the left side, we have the mom and dad, the mom and the bonus mom and dad on the left side. And then we have the mom and a bonus dad on the right side. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. Bonus mom and dad on the left, mom and bonus dad on the right, the child in the middle. And everybody's, they're holding hands. The picture speaks volume because in our family, we like to have call bonus mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Bonus children. We don't like to refer to it as step because right. we always find that step has a negative connotation tied to it being less than, right? To me, this picture speaks volumes, right? You know, when you look at this picture, what comes to mind for you guys?
I agree. When I saw the picture, that's why I was like, okay, this is good. Because we don't do the step. We don't even use that term in our home. You know, mm-hmm. they're my kids. I'm their bonus mom. We don't even use bonus, really. We just kind of, those are our kids. Right. But yeah, I agree with this term rather than step. I don't like that. I don't like saying that word.
I don't either. And I mean, I think when we talk about our kids, we say our kids. But sometimes yeah. when we have certain situations, you do have to put an emphasis on bonus mom, bonus dad, because there are some bio parents that are offended mm-hmm. by you saying, you know, that's my right. kid, because there are just some out there. They're just like, well, you know, you're not their mom. You're not their dad. So don't call them that. So I know when we say it, you know, for the purpose of talking about it, we use bonus, especially, you know, in our family, but I hate the word step. I even like researched the origin of step family, like where it came from and why. And it really has there is nothing negative about it. I think it's just what people right. us, you know, attach to it. And then I'll just mm-hmm. give my spiel on the photo. It is the ideal, right? To be able to have both sides of the family be able to support in unity. Yeah. Right. So to me, that's what I see is an ideal.
It's the perfect scenario.
Mm-hmm. Erica, that's a perfect word. Unity. That's yes. that's it right there.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we strive for.
And that's and, you know, for some reason or another, it can often be lost for the blended family. Mm-hmm. Again, when you go back to sporting events, you can be an event. And you can high five a complete stranger. But yet some people will be have a disdain, taste or favor for the opposite parent that they wouldn't want to support their child for that event. Right. So I want to just kind of pick your brains a little bit. You know, how do we reach this level in a blended family? Whereby both parents and bonus parents can be joined on a field holding hands with their children. What do you think? How do we get there? What are some things that we need to kind of let go, do, practice better?
Don't answer the question.
Don't answer it. I was just about to say, you about to answer right now.
I try to catch myself.
That's my husband. That's my husband.
I get on the spiel.
And I love him so much. He'd be trying to provide context. I know.
The pride, letting go of pride. Because mm-hmm. we're all pouring into this child, you mm-hmm. know, and we all want to see this child do well. So that's the thing for me, the pride of it. Like, that's my child.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think just knowing that like that picture said, unity. If we all in unison and one, the child is number one. The child comes first. So we are all here to support. We all here to support John. Come together and be one. So if you could just like you said, get rid of your feelings and come together for the child. Everything should work out if you're here for the child.
If you're here for the child.
If and only if. So I think That's a point. And when while you were talking, it made me think about, like, if you keep, people know when number one matters, right? You right. should be number one in your marriage. But when it comes to a blended family dynamic, then at that point, the child becomes number one. Because I think people struggle with, you know, where they fit in the ranking. But in your yeah. marriage, your spouse comes first. But when you look at the blended family dynamic, and that includes all parties, the child comes first. So I think that's
the child's best interest.
Yeah.
The child's best interest comes first.
Right.
So to your point, that's what I thought about when you said that. I think if people place the emphasis in the right spots, you know, if you're in a new marriage, focus on that because that's your number one ministry. And then when it's time to do business for the kids, then both of y'all focus on that.
Right.
I would love to see it happen for all families.
For all families. Mm-hmm. And another thing we'll talk about is the, you know, when there's a, you know, an absent parent for mm-hmm. one reason or another, and there's a bit of a letdown that comes to the child when the parent is not there, you know. What advice would you give to a parent that's absent that needs to encourage that somebody to be there for their children? What do you think it means to the child, more importantly, to have that picture come together?
Oh, everything. To have all parties there, that child will go out and play the best game, do the best whatever they're doing that they've ever did, if that can happen. You will be mm-hmm. surprised of the amount of success that child will have if mm-hmm. if that can happen.
I agree.
Yeah, I think you should try to make all games. Like this summer for his volleyball, I kind of missed a lot of my daughter's game, but I'm gonna make it an emphasis to be at all their school games. Cause I remember when I was a kid, my dad, I remember this vividly today. My dad never missed not one of my football games. Right? I ran track. He ain't come to none of my track meets. I'm 40 years old and I still, that's crazy that I still remember.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, you do.
Not one. If he did, it may be one. All right. I went to the state championship at LSU, and not to put any that bad on my dad. He was a great father, but it's just, hey, I remember. Hey, he didn't come to none of my track meets, but he can't. Hey, football, he ain't missed not one. My parents didn't miss not one game.
But did he ask
ever in my life?
Did he ask, like, how was your game? How was your track meet? Did he ask or inquire?
I mean, he might have caught an X, but it wouldn't.
He wasn't, yeah.
And
that's what matters.
One that probably really hurt me, man, I made it to the state championship at LSU. That's the big finale.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was there.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is, you know, that's the one that stuck out the most to you, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And that just shows you that our children, our importance in their lives, and being there for those moments, yeah. they matter, right? No matter how good or bad our performance is at times, when they have their special moments, those little moments, it matters, you know?
And I think it matters for blended families as well. Like, that's your bio dad. But imagine, you know, coming into a family where your bonus mom or your bonus dad never supports you, never comes to your games, and then you want me to go by their house? You want me to sleep there? You know, it's the little things. And I know, you know, in the beginning, the oldest one, she was kind of distant and not probably, she wasn't really accepting of the whole new dynamic. But for me, I still would show up, not looking for, you know, any place or looking for her to acknowledge me, if you will. But just so you know, that I was there, because in my heart, I knew that things would turn around. I knew that one day it wouldn't be what it is at that time. So I would still show up because I don't want you to ever say, well, you wasn't there for me. Nope.
Right.
I was there. Even when you didn't want me to be.
And that was, right. I mean, it was hard for me at the times. I thought, like, you know, not showing up. Mm-hmm. In some games I did miss, you know, because I was being treated nasty, mean to, even though, you know, we, you know, me and your mother had a divorce, but not you.
Right.
But sometimes the child can, due to certain influences, they can take on the feeling one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And then that'll impact the overall relationships that you have with, you know, your own child. And then because of that, you feel like, you know what? I'm not putting up with this. I'm not going to show up. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately what I was told, and my wife gave me the best advice in this scenario, because I was being shunned after games, trying to check on, see how things was going. Being shunned, she said, you know what? And my counselor at the time gave me some good advice too. Show up and then just leave at the end.
Yeah.
She'll see you there. Her friends will see you there. And then eventually, you know, just they'll know that you were there. Mm-hmm. So now they can't say you were never there.
Yeah.
Now they just say, he didn't talk to me after the game. Well, you just, the last time he just, you were so nasty, so why talk to you? I'm here, I'm watching it, you know. So that would be, you know, for me, I would give anybody advice that's absent and not participating, you know, still try to overcome. But that key word that you said earlier about pride, mm-hmm. overcoming that pride and trying, and still, no matter what the circumstance is, try to participate when you know. But then also, this is the other step that I would encourage parents to do, though. No matter what, send the information.
Yeah.
If they're not a participant, that's their choice. But they can never say they never knew about the event.
In most situations. Because you just have to say, because you talking to people who, you know, have people who have made it very clear that they want no parts. And for those people, you just have to pray for them.
Right. He's had to help me with that, you know, with still send the information, still do what you're supposed to do on your end, and let him make the decision of if he's not going to show up, if he's not going to come.
I agree.
Right, because we have to get to a point with our opposite parent. We can no longer control their actions. Right.
Right. You never could.
Right. We never could. But some people, well, they try hard. They try hard to control your actions in the home and outside the home. But anywho, so when you have the information as the parent that has the child with you, I would still always encourage share when possible, when it won't cause, of course, major disruption to the child.
Right.
Put your pride to the side. Share the information at least. Maybe there'll be one time.
Right.
They have a change of heart. Something may happen on their side to where, you know what? I need to stop being there more, right? I just lost my mother, just lost my father, and now I got a revelation, right? Of course, God can do these things. And we have to trust and believe in these moments. That's what the power of God can do, but we have to be the parents to say, you know what? I'm gonna still send it. Whatever you do with it, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the child. And I think that's what ultimately will change the course of everything. Because I grew up in a blended family. And all I can remember is, you know, when things didn't go the way that I lived with my dad for most of my life. And things didn't go a certain way. My dad would still always tell me, well, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, your mom, it'll work itself out. He would never say anything negative about my mom, even though when I felt as though, like, Joker, you're not going to say nothing? You should be saying something right now. He never said anything negative about my mother, no matter what she may have done that may not have been in our favor, in my favor, what I thought she should have done. He never spoke of a negative light. And that still stands with me today. And I'm over 40. I'm 40 years old right now. Right. And that's one of the things that I try to practice.
You over 40?
No, 40. Oh. I'm closing in on 40. Shucks. I mean, we in August. I'm closer to 41 right now than I am to 40. But anywho, did you want to put my age out there? So, you know, that's one of the things for me. I always try to, you know, teach my kids to be, no matter what the outcome is, to be positive towards my other opposite parent, to where I'm not the negative contractor of, like, oh, yeah, she never going to come. You know, she don't care about you. You know, not be that person. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. So now we're getting to our closing. Right. This has been good. I appreciate talking with Joneses.
I got it right again.
Yeah. Yay. It's easier to say the Joneses because it's like keeping up with the Joneses. At this time, how we like to end every show that we do in prayer. And my wife being my spiritual partner, and I call her our spiritual leader because I grew up Catholic. And of course, now I'm a member, participant at Beacon Light Baton Rouge Church on Prescott.
What church y'all go to, y'all?
Services at 8 and 10.
You go to Beacon Light, Pastor Eric A. Williams.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
He goes, my man.
Yeah, so I like that. Shout out to Pastor. That's my father-in-law, Pastor, at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. We like to close out in prayer because my wife has taught me through this blended family journey the amazing grace of God. Mm-hmm. And how if we put and keep God first through all of this, the power of prayer, and then just keeping faith, how things can change around. You will be surprised how they can change.
You might as well go.
No, I'm going to let you know. No, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to preach a sermon.
Like Pastor Williams say, when you find love, you find God. When you find God, you find love.
There I go. That's my love right there, boy. Yep. She's
like my boy say, man. I'm not trying to take nothing from you. I'm trying to get something to you.
I
got a down pack.
Trying to get something to you.
Yeah, I ain't trying to get something to you.
There you go. The Coach Jones, but he'll get a shout out, boy. Wait till we tell him this.
That's my boy.
Yes. All right. Well, let me tell y'all, every time he tell me this, I be like, who, me? I see it on the outline and everything. It says Erica prayer, and I still be like, me prayer.
I don't put no extra words behind none. I just say Erica
prayer. And I be like, me.
Hey, I do have one question before we get off. Do y'all pray together consistently?
I wouldn't say as consistent as we could be. Our times mm-hmm. are different. Like, he's an early mm-hmm. riser. I'm not. And so mm-hmm. when he gets up in the morning, that's his prayer time. We do read the Bible together at night, but not...
You have prayer at night.
Yeah, but not like in how I would like it to be in my mind. I'm a morning person in my mind. I'm working on that. I'm not there yet.
She's not a morning person.
But, I'm not.
You know.
Okay. And so.
I'm with you.
I would like to see that more, like in the mornings before we like go have a moment of prayer together in my mind. Yeah. But I'm working. I have to work on me first. You know, you got to work on you. And then it's me. I can't get up.
I guess me and Wayne and unison with that. I'm an early bird too. I'm up and rolling.
So I do my prayers, and I get a former colleague of mine's. She sends me a prayer 5 days a week, and what I try to do with that prayer is to read it, say my own prayers, and then share my thoughts and comments with my wife.
Yeah,
my wife got access to my email, so she sees it come across. But I try mm-hmm. to take and send that prayer back to her again, mm-hmm. to her email address, mm-hmm. with my thoughts to it in the morning. So she'll get a prayer, you know, like this morning she got one. She said, what time you send it? I was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
6:25, yo. Your girl was asleep.
So she got one. She got one early, but then at night
I had keep scrolling. I said, "Why did you send this?"
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was early.
I didn't see.
And then at night, we really tried to, as much dynamics that we have going on, make some time for scripture, follow a Bible plan that we're reading. Mm-hmm. For me, I've been reading the Bible almost like in awe of some of the stuff that's happened. In the way that the scripture comes across and it comes back to us, stories that's been told long ago, and how we look at them today and like, wow.
Yeah.
Nobody but God could have done X, could have done this, could have done that, and we have a children's Bible read to the boys.
Every, he loves the children's
Bible. I love the children's Bible. My wife says that it's probably just because it's in the simplest context, but anywho, I love the children's Bible. They got pictures in it and everything. And I get caught up in the story. Like I will read 2 and 3, chapter. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? We need to go to the next
one. Like, read another one.
Because I want to know what happened.
Another one.
Had one. We read that one twice. And now we got a new one. So it's just now it's different on how it comes. So this is something I have never done before with any of my kids. Right? This is new for me, spending time with the boys every night. And they get excited, too. Like, oh, let's read the Bible. We'll read another story. But then we'll read the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really trying to do. It's good for
the kids, too. Like, I even started praying with the kids. Wade is still unruly at prayer time. So hopefully one day, the Holy Spirit
and that little one
to, rise up in him. But one time, Wyatt, we were praying and he was saying he was afraid. And so when we prayed, we was like, protect us from any bad guys, anything, any danger. The next time we prayed, I didn't say it. He said, but what about the bad guys? he was like, you got to pray for that. So kids do pay attention. So we do pray with them. But again, in my mind, we pray a whole lot together in the morning when I'm sleeping.
So we just try to find different times to get it in. And for us
together, I would like to see it more. Now me, I'll go in my prayer closet, listen, and be in there. I'm gonna see y'all when I see y'all.
Right.
I'll let y'all. Sometimes I turn my phone on Do Not Disturb. Oh, I was in my prayer closet. I'm sorry. That's where I was.
Much so prayer. To answer your question, yes, that's a bit of our prayer scripture routine that we have just to, and we're working on trying to be as most consistent as possible. And I can tell you this, just because for me, at one time in my life, I used to watch TV or go to bed. But now I've gotten to a spot, maybe because I'm getting older, I don't know.
Over 40.
But I met this woman. So oftentimes I like to read the scripture and then go to sleep after that.
Yeah.
So like just and letting that be the last thing on my mind before going to bed.
Yeah.
So that's you're talking about the evolution of a person. At one time I grew up Catholic. You couldn't tell me
Catholic is very different.
That I would be going to two services on a Sunday and looking forward to seeing and comparing and contrasting the differences between the two. And what do I get from out of each service?
Yeah.
And that's what I look forward to now in trying to understand and break down the word. Like you said, my cousin said we was something as a kid. You couldn't have told 9, 8-year-old Wayne Guidry that he was going to be going to two services on each Sunday that he possibly can. The only time he misses when that's obviously an obligation that takes him out of town. You couldn't have told me that, the younger person. You couldn't have told me that at 20, no, even 30.
You couldn't. When we first started dating, we was only going to one service. Even when we first got married, it was still one, So the evolution continues. My man is at 2. Don't play with no him. Okay. 2 services. Watch out. I told him, back in the day, man, we had 3 services. You used to come back for the 4th service on Communion Sunday. Mm-hmm. You could have never. 7:30, 9:30, 11:30.
Nah. I don't know about all that. I'm getting happy in my two. Now, if God take me to three, if it goes to three, then let the will be done. But as of right now, I love going to my two services, y'all. When I get to my two, we feel good.
Do you guys pray together often? I mean, y'all busy.
We do, but not as consistently as we should. You know, in my head, like I would want us to do it more consistently, but he's an early riser. I'm not. At night I find myself, cause he's like Wayne, he would just randomly fall asleep and everything is in the house is still functioning. So I find myself sometimes.
Say what?
Just praying over him, just still covering him. You know, I do that consistently.
Yes, but, ma'am. Hey,
to my defense, though, I don't fall asleep, but I'll pop up, go walk through the house, get the fuss. Hey, turn these lights off. Hey, get up, you know, and then I go back.
You know Wayne? Oh, you met him before. You know Wayne. Wayne will be up ironing clothes and everything, get back in the bed.
I might be cleaning the room. She looking at me crazy. I'm a knee freak, too, so if you have something right here, and it's moved over that much, I'm gonna notice. Hey, put it back where it's supposed to be.
I have my moments, but
he's not a neat freak. You're not.
I like order. I don't know about neat.
He can do order, and it can be like chaotic order. He's a hoarder. Let's just be honest. He's an organized hoarder.
Organized hoarder. I can live with that.
Yep.
I don't like to throw nothing away because I always feel like I'm going to need that again. I'm going to need it again. When I go through
it, he'd be like, why do you have to be so mean? Because it was here a year ago. Now what's up?
Hey, Wayne, I'm throwing it away.
Right.
Hey, throwing it away.
Yes. Throw it away. Team, throw it away.
And then she'd be like, you know what did we do with that thing? And then she'd be like, oh, let's buy another one. I'd be like, what?
Well, I read something that said if it's something that you can get easily, if you haven't used it in a year and it's something that you can get easily, then throw it away if you don't have no use for it. But anyway, I was just thinking when you were saying prayer, we should do like a couple's prayer challenge. Like, because y'all going to be a part of Blended Family Ministries, huh?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And so it's going to start with marriage first. I see it coming.
You got to start with marriage first. That is the highest. That's the order. You start with the husband and wife first, the kids and everything else will fall in line. Oftentimes people want to change that order, and that's when dysfunction happens consistently.
Yep. We're going to work on it. Yeah.
We're going to get back. Yeah.
We're going to work on it.
I think that's a thing. All right. Well, we didn't took a lot of y'all evening.
We appreciate spending time with y'all.
We appreciate y'all.
Guys, we had a good time.
Good.
All right. Well, let us bow our heads and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. God, we thank you for the opportunity to spend with people, your children, to discuss blended families, God. We thank you now that you are a gracious God, and we know that your grace is sufficient. So, God, I just pray now and ask that you cover blended families all over. God, I pray that the same grace that has rested upon our family rest upon other families that may watch this. God, I pray now that we know that all things are possible with you. So any challenges that we face, we cast them upon you, God, because you care for us. So I pray now that as other families hear this, they begin to uncover what's holding them hostage and they begin to give it to you so that it can be broken. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Thank you for listening to another episode of the We Blended and Blessed podcast. Until next time, stay blessed.